I have searched scriptures high and low for the Jesus loves you gospel, and for some reason, friends, I can't find it. If it's there, I will gladly preach it, but nowhere can I find any of the apostles telling sinners that Jesus loved them. The Bible does say, "For God so loved the world," in John 3:16, but in each reference to the love of God is in direct reference to the cross of Christ. So here's a few such references. "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to die for us to be the propitiation for our sins," 1 John 4:10. "God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us," Romans 5:8. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends," John 15:13. "Hereby we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us," 1 John 3:16. "Christ hath also loved us and hath given himself for us an offering," Ephesians 5:2. "And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," again John 3:16. So where is God's love? How was it that the Apostle Paul knew that God loved him? Because he was often hungry and naked. He was whipped, beaten, stoned, and so depressed that at one stage in his life that he wanted to die. He was mocked, hated, shipwrecked, imprisoned for years, and then finally martyred. What did he look to for assurance of God's love for him? He didn't look at his lifestyle, because to the unlearned eye, it didn't exactly speak of God's caring hand for him. His abundant life was certainly full, but it wasn't full of what we think it should have been if God loved him. I mean, look at Paul. Take a look. Lying half naked on a cold dungeon floor, chained to hardened Roman guards. Look at his bloody back and his bruised, swollen face. "Hey, Paul, you've been beaten again. Where are your friends? Demas and others have forsaken you. Where's your expensive chariot and your successful building program? Where's the evidence of God's blessings, Paul?" What's that? What did you say? "Did I hear you mumble through your swollen lips that God loves you?" Paul slowly lifts his head. His black and bruised eyes look deeply into yours as they sparkle as he says these two words, "the cross." He painfully reaches into his blood-drenched tunic and carefully pulls out a large letter he had been writing in his own hand. His trembling, blood-stained finger points to one sentence in particular. You strain your eyes in the dim light and read, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live in by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me," Galatians 2:20. Paul knew that when God created the heavens, the sun, moon, stars, and the sky that surrounds this massive earth, he displayed to humanity his incredible power, his majesty, and of course his glory. And in the same way the cross of Calvary displayed to humanity the evidence of God's love towards us, "But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us," Romans 5:8. You see, that was the source of Paul's joy and thus his strength. "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus Christ," Galatians 6:14. If there's an economic recession, those who love God solely to material blessings as evidence of God's love will think that God has forsaken them. Those who look to the cross as a token of God's love, however, will never doubt his steadfast devotion to them. The cross is the show of God's love for the world. It is the focal point of our message. Calvary's cross is the very essence of the gospel, yet I have lost count of the times I've heard preachers of the gospel fail to even mention it. Jesus told the Pharisees that they had omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith, and therein is our message. There is the proper arrangement. It is because of judgment that we need mercy, and the way to obtain mercy is through faith. So, what exactly am I saying? I'm saying that it is a grave error to tell an impenitent sinner of God's love in Christ without direct mention of the cross. Why? Because the Bible doesn't do so. And how can we mention the cross without reference to sin? And how on earth can we mention sin without reference to the law? Is the sinner of today more learned than the Apostle Paul, who said in Romans 7:7, "I had not known sin but by the law"? Has God changed his mind in using the law as to bring the knowledge of sin, Romans 3:20? If you want to show sinners that Jesus loves them, well, we must do so biblically or they will spurn his love. We can invoke a tearful response by telling sinners that God loves him. It is certainly less offensive to receivers and therefore an
easier message
to get.
Lower the law and you dim the light by which man perceives his guilt. This is a very serious loss to the sinner rather than a gain, for it lessens the likelihood of his conviction and conversion. I say that you have deprived the gospel of its ablest auxiliary, its most powerful weapon, when you have set aside the law of God. You have taken away from it the schoolmaster that is to bring men to Christ. They will never accept grace till they tremble before a just and a holy law. Therefore, the law serves as a most necessary purpose and must not be removed from its place. The law cuts into the core of evil, it reveals the seat of malady, and informs us that the leprosy lies deep within. They must be slain by the law before they can be made alive by the gospel. The Prince of Preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Let me put this into terms that everybody can understand. If you're sick and tired of man's 10,000 commandments, then get back to God's 10 in Christ Jesus.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently that we shouldn't rock the boat. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys, and of course, all of you good guys and girls out there. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. Hey, really quick, folks, I want you to consider this, because one of the things that I highlight is the fact that we're being told how much God loves us and how he has a wonderful plan for our life, and does he love us? Yep, it was through the cross. It was all done in action, which speaks a lot louder than words. And interesting, this wonderful life that we have now, we can see that it's being judged across the country. Psalm 9, 16, and 17. And I just want to show you the love that's been portrayed to us through a lip service without action. You know, James 2, 14 through 26, faith without works is dead. It's interesting to see what happens when you're a counterfeit and you judge counterfeits and pretenders by their fruit as well. Because again, we're told about, you know, how much God loves us and has a wonderful plan for our lives, which is not scriptural. He loves us again through the cross. And, you know, that wonderful life is in Christ. It's not outside of Christ. And that life is promised to warfare, John 16, 33, not the other way around. But because the American people have taken heed to it, this is what I want you to hear. Did you know that since 1963, sexually transmitted diseases, 15 to 19 years old, did you know that they're up 226%? Because those that are telling us that they love us so much, they forgot to tell us that it also magnifies the law against the crime and shows us that there's consequence if we don't listen to it, right? Psalm 19:11. Premarital sex and sexual activity among teens up 15 years old, 1,000%. Yeah, because the Supreme Court, the church allowed the Supreme Court to say that it's free speech to teach your kids how to violate God's moral law. But the word of God has never changed, 1 Corinthians 6, 9. It's still there to testify against us in our sins. Divorce rates are up 117%. I mean, folks, you drive down the street now and you see a little sign in the corner, $99 divorces. Has anybody ever taken the time to see what Jesus said about divorce? Like if you get divorced and then marry somebody else, you know that he calls you an adulterer? And do you know that the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 as well, that adulterers have no inheritance into the kingdom of God? It's called easy living. It's called the wide and broad that Jesus warned us of, right?
What about this one? Birth rates from unwed girls, 15 to 19% up 553%. Well, we're told that the government just said, listen, if you have a problem with that, just kill your baby. Don't worry about it. So they illegally sanction the murder of innocent blood, yet the Lord says that he hates hands that shed innocent blood. What does it look like when a church disobeys the living God? What happens to the church that fails to love the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength? Well, this is the fruit thereof. Sexually transmitted diseases, gonorrhea, ages 10 to 14, no joke, up 257%. Who's all this on? I mean, with these statistics, do they have anything to do with us? Oh, absolutely they do. Yep, this is our fruit. This is a reflection of what we've tolerated. And then we have violent crimes up, which are up 794%. Folks, you hardly can even walk into a restaurant anymore if they have a television on, which you're going to find televisions more than you're not going to find them. As a matter of fact, it's very hard to find a place to eat where they don't have a television now. But what are they constantly promoting? Violence. They're constantly promoting violence. Well, does it have an effect? Absolutely. 794% violent crimes are up in the United States of America. But again, what I'm talking about right now are these people, the hirelings in the pulpit, that have pulled down the true scriptures when it comes to what love looks like and acts like. And they're the ones telling us how much we're loved all the time, even by them, right? They say that they're born of God, born again of the Spirit of God, and they love us so much. And but what we see is we see their inaction. But we see one thing they can't hide is their fruits. And again, this is a lack of Christianity. And remember, nobody rebuked the religious hypocrites more than Christ himself did. So I'm going to get to that in just a couple minutes because I want to give you some more of this so you can understand that it's a lack of love. It's not love in any sense of the word. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. I want to show you a couple things here before we start rolling out that topic. If you want to call in, you can. That number's 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704. If you want to check us out on social media platforms, please do. SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, SonsOfLibertyMedia.com, subscribe, and or BeforeIt'sNews.com, BeforeIt'sNews.com as well. One more time, 281-845-4704. Again, if you want to call in, stick to the topic, 281-845-4704. Folks, if this is the first time listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, friends? Because it's a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. True that. We follow the Christ here, John 14:6. I'm sure you understand what we're covering here, friends. I want to show you a couple things here. I want you to hear the voice of the young. We're hearing a lot of this moon landing nonsense. I don't know if you guys have seen the videos of Mr. Kubrick, but he was actually the one that staged the whole moon landing hoax. And he basically told the world that it was all a hoax done in a Hollywood studio back in the 1960s. Anybody that's younger that looks at the film that was sold to that generation will laugh at the film that's been delivered up, and they'll punch holes all the way through it, showing you how it's all been falsified. Well, just recently, we even heard from one of these astronauts that was going to the moon again, and I played the video for you some time ago where he had actually said this will be the first time we've ever been to the moon. It's interesting, folks, that even when they tell on themselves, there's still people that are so blind to the truth that they continuously listen to it and they'll fight against the truth. It's almost better that you just lie to them because for some reason or another, they can hear lying lips. Because they live in a world filled with lies and deception. But I want you to listen to the voice of this young man who has something to say, and you all need to hear it.
It's not did we go to the moon. The real question is why fake the moon landing? I don't think we can argue that Apollo wasn't done in a Hollywood studio. From the ridiculous footage they gave us, to the flag, to the footprint, to the radiation, to the camera angles changing so we don't see the arc, to the whistleblowers. Now it's time to understand why. Why would the government tell us the the truth about this when they lied to us about almost everything else? The answer is pretty simple, and it's aligned with the agenda. It's to control our perception that they are big and powerful and that we are small and helpless. It's to keep us trapped in that same power dynamic so that we rely on these big institutions when all they're doing is driving us away from our true human potential.
Yeah, we're going to come right back to this in a moment, friends. It's interesting, the older generation, what they've taken on, and it's become their reality, the deceptive reality. The younger generation is saying, no way, it's not going to work this way. We're going to play it one more time when we get back. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Hello, my name is Ron Branster with the American Policy Center, and we are on the front lines combating that global movement of the Green New Deal scam. Our partnerships with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty Radio have elevated our message with a secure relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. So please join us in our efforts and listen to the Sons of Liberty Radio and Bradley Dean. Our message is your future. Thank you.
BBSradio.com.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Now, concerning the Second Amendment, to ban guns because criminals use them is to tell the law-abiding that their rights and liberties depend not on their own conduct, but on the conduct of the guilty and the lawless. Lysander Spooner. Lieutenant Colonel Jeffrey Cooper, United States Marine Corps, rightly stated, "If violent crime is to be curbed, it is only the intended victim who can do it. The felon does not fear the police, and he fears neither judge nor jury. Therefore, what he must be taught is to fear his victim." We must not only assert the truth, we must attack the evil and the false. Martin Lloyd Jones. Was not Leonardo da Vinci correct when he said, "Not to punish evil is equivalent to authorizing it"? So I was just highlighting the younger generation's not putting up with what the older generation has put up with. I'm going to give you a couple variations in just a second here. Again, if you want to call in, 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704. I'm just going to put the pedal to the metal on the show today, friends. Again, I want you to listen to this carefully. Here's a young man talking about, because there's much talk about them going to the moon now, friends. The younger generation is not buying what the older generation has bought, in any sense of the word.
The real question is, why fake the moon landing? I don't think we can argue that Apollo wasn't done in a Hollywood studio. From the ridiculous footage they gave us, to the flag, to the footprint, to the radiation, to the camera angles changing so we don't see the arc, to the whistleblowers. Now it's time to understand why. Why would the government tell us the truth about this when they lied to us about almost everything else? The answer is pretty simple, and it's aligned with the agenda. It's to control our perception that they are big and powerful and that we are small and helpless. It's to keep us trapped in that same power dynamic so that we rely on these big institutions when all they're doing is driving us away from our true human potential. In 1969, they claimed that the moon landing was done to flex military innovation against the Soviets during the Cold War. But ultimately, what does this do? It tells the world that they have the height advantage, that they're above and we're below. It's not for exploration and inspiration for all of humanity. They don't care about that. They care about power. So why are they doing it again today? Well, besides showing Iran that they have that military advantage, it serves as a sweet distraction from everything else that's going on. Fuel prices, financial pressure, no arrests made from the Epstein files, sending tens of thousands of soldiers to die in Iran, the rise of cancer in children, the rise of the digital control grid, and much more. Yep. So whenever you see some fake government achievement, remember that the public is losing trust and they're trying to put us back in our place. But this time, no one is falling for it.
Okay, so folks, what you're hearing is the younger generation. I know that they've been cast off, and as I've said a million times on the show, they've been subjected to everything and protected from nothing. One thing that they haven't been protected from is the truth in their hearts, and it's called discernment, and they can see it for what it is. If you want to know why the older generation has become a reproach to the younger generation, it's because of what the older generation has brought upon them by trusting those that shouldn't be trusted. Now, I want to show you one more thing, because I'm just going to go back 20 years and I'm going to show you something, because there is a ton of this information coming out. It's been coming out for the last year and a half concerning September 11th. And I just want to show you how ridiculous it is that the older generation bought any of this nonsense concerning September 11th. People are beginning to question it now. Oh, by the way, keep in mind all of those conservative talking heads that are in front of you today, every single one of them drove the same narrative. This is how it happened. Don't question authority. Okay. But everybody's questioning authority now. But friends, the younger generation is also questioning that authority as they're saying no to those controlled operatives in the conservative movement. Why? Listen to this.
My investigations have failed to produce a single serial number part from a single 9/11 airplane. Not one.
The only other thing that was found was the engine on Murray Street. And the engine on Murray Street has been identified as either a CFM-56 or the CF-6, but whichever one it was, the CF-6 or the CFM-56, it had to be General Electric. And unfortunately, or fortunately, United Airlines used strictly Pratt & Whitney. So that engine that you see flying off, and that engine they say is from 175, isn't from 175, because the guy's whose job was to dump it off there, you know, in a smoking, smoldering thing, dumped off the wrong engine.
Did you hear that, friends? The FBI dropped off the wrong engine. The plane engine that allegedly hit the building was the wrong engine. That was John Lear that just told you that. Nobody's more qualified than to tell you the truth of the matter. Speaking of the truth, before we get to our main topic here, what happens when you do tell the truth? This is why we have so many cowards among men today. But these people that we're going to highlight here, they weren't cowards. They were the ones that were standing on the inside, standing up against the corruption that you tolerate on the outside. I want you to listen to this. And again, friends, as we look at the Christ and him crucified and what in the natural men fought, bled, and died fighting against, you're going to see these were the ones that were willing to stand up and live for what they died for, just like we do. 2 Corinthians 5:15. Listen to this.
Story that caught our attention. We're talking about a number of U.S. scientists, some connected to very sensitive research, who have died or disappeared. Let's break down what we know so far. We're going to start with Carl Grillmar. Carl Grillmar, pictured here, was an astrophysicist at Caltech. He worked on a NASA-supported space telescope project and infrared systems. Now, he was shot and killed at his home just 2 months ago. Then there's Frank Maywald. He was a senior scientist at NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab, focused on advanced satellite systems, and he died nearly 2 years ago, but his cause of death has never been made public. Meanwhile, Monica Reza. Monica Reza also reportedly connected to NASA's Jet Propulsion Lab project. She went missing last summer while hiking in California. No trace. It keeps going.
What a coincidence.
There's William McCaslin, a retired Air Force general. He, too, is missing. He's a former head of Air Force Research Lab and oversaw advanced space and surveillance programs. He's been missing since February. And reports say he once oversaw funding connected to a project that also included Monica Reza. Now, there's more to New Mexico. Melissa Casais. She has been missing since last summer. She worked at Los Alamos National Lab. She had an administrative role, but reportedly also had security clearances. Just months earlier, she went missing. So too did Anthony Chavez, also connected to Los Alamos, an engineer. He disappeared during a walk. No signs, no answers. And then finally, there's Nuno Lorero. You remember Nuno Lorero? He was the MIT researcher focused on nuclear fusion and was shot and killed in his Massachusetts home last December. It was the case of the Brown shooter. It's a separate case with no confirmed links to the others. But here's the key point. Authorities have not connected these cases, but look at the overlap. The same handful of institutions, NASA, Air Force Research, Los Alamos Laboratory. So, could they be connected? Or is this something else entirely?
They always like to leave it open-ended. And why that is, I don't know. Outside of the fact that they're afraid that if they actually bring it to a conclusion, then their life's going to be jeopardized by them telling the truth. Well, guess what? That comes with the territory for any one of us that actually do that. But again, that's just a safe way to end that. But I got a question for you. Did you notice that this reporter was a younger guy, probably 35, 37 years old? Did you notice what he's unwilling to uncover? Did you notice the dominoes concerning the domino effect of all those being intertied to the same group of people? And why do you suppose they just disappeared? Why do you suppose they were murdered? Why do you suppose that was the case, friends? Because they were going along with everything, or they were the ones that were actually willing to stand up against what's going on out there. Now, I do want you to consider this one thing. Do consider what I highlight continuously on this show, which is the heart of our freedoms, that someone fought, bled, and died fighting against the very things that many of you are tolerating today. John 15:13, greater love is no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his brothers. What's going to happen if we don't basically sacrifice ourselves on the behalf of the up and coming generation by dealing with those that mean to enslave that up and coming generation? What do you suppose is going to happen? Do you think that we should allow our fears to dictate what we do or what we don't do concerning the fear of man? Or should we take our counsel from the fear of God and deal with these individuals that continuously assail our way of life here in America, which they do not have a right to do? Now, I'm bringing that up for the very purpose of going back to the title of the show again, because one of the things that I want to highlight today is the fact that there's so many people out there, especially from the pulpits in America, and I deal with this all of the time, that claim that they love us so much. But when you look at their statistics and you judge them by their fruit the way that we're supposed to judge any other man by their fruit, what does their fruit bear? What does their fruit tell us concerning the depth, the width, the breadth, and the length of what they define out as to be love? Is it really love? Because I see it as being a lack of love. Now, I also want to say this before we get going. What we hear is we hear them tell people that God loves them and that God has a wonderful plan for their life, but that's not the message of the gospel, but that's what we hear, right? But that it's only half the truth that needs to be told, and I want to bring about the other half of that. When the Bible tells us in Matthew 22:37, it tells us that this is the great commandment, that we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the first commandment. The second is namely like unto this. What is the second commandment, people? To love your neighbors as yourself. Did you know that in America, and I'll get back to that point in just a moment, do you know that in America, there's Good Samaritan laws that are still in the books? Good Samaritan laws are after legal protection to people who give reasonable assistance to those that are in need of help. See, when we look out for each other and we enforce it, we got to ask the question, what's behind it? Well, what's the fulfilling of the law? Love. We'll be right back. SonsOfLibertyRadio.com.
So, you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty radio show and have been thinking, There are so many others who need to hear this message as well, but you just don't know how to reach them. Well then, this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. It's time to schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty. It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. So, don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And together, we can make a difference in our world today.
Struggling to awaken the woke? Can't seem to cut through their brainwashing? Do you have friends and loved ones who fall in prey to the liberal leftist talking points? Perhaps someone deeply indoctrinated by communist college professors? Wisconsin Christian News is a nationally distributed newspaper that'll give you the ammo you need to make your point, with truth they can't deny. But warning, it may make them cry. Sign up now at WisconsinChristianNews.com.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you're already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Hey folks, this is State Representative Ben Davis. We're in a battle for the soul of our nation, and here in Minnesota, we're taking a stand. From the airwaves to the state capitol, we're fighting to defend our God-given liberties and restore biblical constitutional principles. Join Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty radio broadcast Monday through Saturday at 2 p.m. Central as he exposes the truth, calls out tyranny, and rallies patriots to action. Visit sonsoflibertyradio.com to listen now.
President Theodore Roosevelt said to announce that there must be no criticism of the president, or that we are to stand by the president, right or wrong, is not only unpatriotic and servile, but it is morally treasonable to the American public. Nothing but the truth should be spoken about him or anyone else. But it is even more important to tell the truth, pleasant or unpleasant, about him than about anyone else. How right J.C. Ryle was. A true Christian is one who has not only peace of conscience, but war within. He may be known by his warfare as well as by his peace. Martin Luther couldn't have made the gospel any clearer when he said, "Lord Jesus, you are my righteousness. I am your sin. You took on you what was mine, yet set on me what was yours. You became what you are not, that I might become what I was not."
I'm actually lost.
BBSradio.com.
Okay. Welcome back. Yeah. I'm feeling as much as everybody else is, folks. Staying on top of a mountain. A mountain of news that the American people love hearing. Why? I have no idea. I cannot stand the negative context in which we have to highlight on a daily basis. I would love nothing more than to see the American people, out of love for God and a love for their brothers and a love for their country, stand up and put an end to the corruption. Isaiah 26:9 comes to my aid, that when the judgments of the Lord are upon the inhabitants of the world, they'll learn righteousness. And that happens through the church, friends. And that's our system of government in this country. If you want to call in, 281-845-4704. I'll highlight this, and then I will take our friend from Arkansas. I was just highlighting the fact that we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And when we're born of the Spirit of God, Romans 5:5, John 3:3, first before Romans 5:5, it tells us that the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost who's been given unto us. Well, and in the process of that, how are we going to love? We're going to love our brothers according to the commandments of the Lord. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, read the whole thing, that to keep his commandments is not grievous. It is the love of God. So in saying that, I could go over to John 14:21 as well and go down the whole row for you, line upon line, just showing you what love is and what love is not. But I want to go back, and I just want you to highlight, and I want you to listen to this, I'm sorry, as I highlight this, and understanding, again, line upon line, as to what James Madison said. The future success of America is not in the Constitution, but in the laws of God upon which this Constitution is founded. That's called common law. Now, I revert back over to what I was talking about during the end of the last segment. What was it? The Good Samaritan laws. What are the Good Samaritan laws? Good Samaritan laws are offered as legal protection to people who give reasonable assistance to those who are or whom they believe to be injured, ill, or in peril, or otherwise incapacitated. So in other words, there's laws in the book in the United States of America that are called the Good Samaritan laws, where we're supposed to look out for each other when our brothers are in need. We're not even getting that from the pulpits in America, friends. And that's where it's supposed to be coming from. We have laws in the book that tell us otherwise. Hey, folks, what is the fulfilling of the law? Love. You don't separate law and love. God gave his law because he loves, not because he hates. I mean, a good government, we have laws in place for the purpose of what? Deterring crime into keeping the innocent people what? Safe. Common sense comes into play, right? And love fulfills both of them. There's two sides to that sword. But again, we have good Samaritan laws in our governments, in state statute, but yet we don't even really know what love is, because if you listen to the first segment, I highlighted the stats concerning what it is that the American people have tolerated. And yet we keep hearing about love this and love that and we love you and so on and so forth. And everybody's kind of sitting back concerning those that really do know what love is, asking the question to those that are continuously offering up lip service, where is the love? Because again, what we do is we hear them say, we hear them tell people that God loves them and has a wonderful plan for their lives. But I'm here to tell you the other side of the truth. And that's in part truth, friends. It's always found in Christ, the life of the Spirit. And that we might have life more abundantly, John 10:10, the second part of that scripture. But remember, God also hates sin, and sin is the transgression of God's law, 1 John 3:4. The Lord will also punish unrepentant sinners with eternal torment. Matter of fact, no gospel presentation is complete if it avoids or conceals those facts. Any message that fails to define and confront the severity of personal sin is a deficient gospel. In fact, it's not the gospel at all. It's one that brings about the curse. The one that the American people have listened to for 70 years in this country have brought about the curse that we're under in this country and the judgments of God. Because they have distorted the character of God, creating a God to suit their sins. And no matter what they do, they're all heaven bound. Nonsense. Folks, I'm going to come back to this in just a moment. And what we're talking about right now, friends, is, and these are the ones bringing forth this corrupt fruit that are telling us how much they love us, yet the country's fallen to the ground under the judgments of God. We better understand what real love is, friends. We got Henry calling in from Arkansas. Welcome to the Sons of Liberty. Henry, what say you, my friend?
Hey, Bradley. Hey. You know what? I sit and hear this crap all the time. Talk. And that's all people do. I mean, wow. Our freaking government, every single one of them. And that's both unconstitutional sides. People need to wake up, man. They're rolling in this digital ID, digital money, all this crap. Chemtrailing us from the skies, deadly bioweapons, crimes against our children. How much more do you need?
Right.
Where's all the men out there?
I agree. I'm with you, brother.
I'm tired of it, bud. I'm tired of getting banned from platforms. I'm tired of freaking people calling me a Bible thumper. I am tired of people calling me a Fed. I mean, come on. Man, I'm just an American citizen. I laid brick for 22 and a half freaking years. And I'm ready to bring justice back, God and justice back to America. Because without God, there is no moral law, just like you said.
Amen.
Look what's happening right now.
Amen.
Our corrupt government's full of child molesters and pedophiles, child traffickers and murderers, and a bunch of freaking sodomites.
Yep.
That's who's running our country.
And the
people. What's wrong with all you people out there? And that's all you people on Rumble, Getter, all these platforms.
I'm purposely saying.
We know the news.
Hey, Henry, I'm purposely saying nothing goes. Go for it.
I'm tired of it, Bradley.
Yeah.
I mean, man, we're on the cops. We're on the freaking mayor. Well, and people say, oh, you know. We're out there doing everything we can. We've done everything but take up arms against these criminals. And let me tell all you people out there, when America wakes up, that's what they fear the most. Because like I keep telling everybody, we are many. And God is first, brother. And I'll leave it to you, Bradley.
Amen. Henry, I appreciate it, guy. I mean, when I get someone fired up like that on the radio, folks, I'm just going to let him have his way because that's another guy that's feeling my fire here. Where are we at? I played the first video during, what was it, the first or second segment of the young man that said, nope, they fooled us this time and this time, and they've lied to us here, they've lied to us here. And then all of a sudden at the very end, he goes, it's not going to happen again. In other words, the younger generation is wide awake. They understand the Gadsden flag, right? You know, the coiled up snake with his eyes wide open, ready to strike. Yeah, that's the younger generation. And see all of that which is going on around you right now concerning these distractions with the moon landing and the war and this, that, and the other thing, and nobody being brought to justice like the young man was talking about. All of that is a distraction to keep you away from the fact that that they just want to basically create a state of people that are impotent, or they want to put you in neutral, and they want to distract you from the fact of the matter. And again, when you look at this scenario for what it is, and you got 345 million people to sit there and get on the radio every day of your life and just highlight more of the crimes that the people tolerate, the kind of response you're going to get is the one that you just got from Henry. And I cannot tell you for the life of me, friends, after 25 years of doing radio and telling the people over and over and in the process of talking to the people and telling them what they're tolerating, we're out there every single month trying to reverse the effect as to what's going on so we can give our children a future and a hope. And why is that? Because the Lord told Caleb and he told Joshua, he said, I'll give you all that which you're willing to trod your feet upon. The Lord said that he would give that to them. But what we have is we have a bunch of impotent people. And I got to agree with what Henry said 100% because I see it all day long. I see where people are online. They do nothing but talk. I see the people that are online do nothing but talk. And then I see another platform where I see those people. That's all they do is talk, and they put up with more of it. And they merely call other people names. And I guess that's supposed to suffice. And that's supposed to bring about the resolve that they claim that they can bring. And it's quite embarrassing to say the least. It truly is. But that's not what our forefathers put up with. Our forefathers didn't put up with any of this. Our forefathers did everything in their power to offer an olive branch across the sea to the corrupt king that would not be ruled by God. And we can find that in the provision found within the U.S. Declaration of Independence. And again, you'll find three quarters of that documentation where our forefathers wouldn't put up with what you're putting up with. You know, folks, you have far surpassed. Let me just talk to you. You have far surpassed anything our forefathers would have even dreamed of putting up with. I mean, you've allowed them to kill 80 million of your own babies. You've allowed them, and this is a reflection of you, you've allowed them to commit the act of treason. You've allowed corrupt agencies to install these Judases within the position of government and attorney general and mayor, and even all the while knowing that international war criminals such as George Soros is actually funding these individuals, and you still do nothing about it. You still act like they don't mean what they say. And here's what Henry was saying, and if it isn't what he was saying, it's what I took from what he was saying. Folks, you know what's crazy about all of this? He said one of the points that he made is they're scared to death that you're going to wake up. He's exactly right. He's exactly right. This is a small, small percentage of corruption worldwide that you are allowing to pull the strings in every facet of your lives. And there's absolutely no excuse for it whatsoever. If you don't understand the purpose of judgment, then you don't understand the definition of what righteousness is. Because without law and judgment, you're not going to know it. I'm going to come back and I'm going to zero in on right ground because I want to highlight something. And I need you to hear it because, again, you're giving ear to those that are talking about love but know nothing of it. We'll be right back. Sons of LibertyRadio.com. This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBS Radio.
Hey there, this is award-winning international journalist Alex Newman. We live in a world dominated by fake news, lies, manipulation, and it's just out of control, folks. Our country is in big trouble, our churches, our families. We need honest journalism today more than ever. And that's why I founded Liberty Sentinel Media. I hope you'll visit us today at libertysentinel.org, where you'll get access to exclusive content exposing the threats to our faith, family, and freedom while equipping you to fight back. Go to libertysentinel.org today.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
In a world filled with compromise and those who cower from speaking the truth, listening to Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty is a breath of fresh air in a day and age when you are searching for someone to just tell it like it is. If you are ready to hear the unadulterated truth from the Word of God that will feed your soul, open your eyes, give you understanding, and turn your heart to the Father, if you are ready to take a stand and realize your duty before God and man to preserve the freedom so graciously bestowed upon us by God Almighty and our founding forefathers, if you're ready to set aside the counterfeit and embrace the real, then join us weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. for an encounter that will enlighten your understanding and point you directly to Jesus Christ, the everlasting light.
Okay. Anyways, trying to stay on top of my mountain of faith and overseeing this. You know, I was driving around a little bit ago and taking care of business, and I noticed on the very top branch of a tree, there was an eagle. It was a bald eagle, just scanning the scene. And that's what it feels like being here. It really is. It's keeping your eye on prophetically what it is that the Lord would have us cover. And, you know, we have the false prophets pointing without, but I can tell you, scripturally speaking, the real prophets are pointing within. And they're showing people not only to repent, but to take responsibility for what it is that they've tolerated far too long. And the Lord, and through his mercy, desires that the people would take up the fact, through repentance, the fruits of the Spirit, which only the Holy Ghost can give. And the fruits of the Spirit are not tolerating what the people in this country that call themselves to be Christians tolerate. It's a lack of Christianity. Do you guys remember Charles Finney said, the church must take right ground in politics. Politics is the science of government. Politics are a part of Christianity in such a country as this, and Christians must do their duty to the country as part of their duty to God. God will bless or curse this nation according to the course Christians take in politics. Everybody lives politics, friends. Here's another question for you. Not only do they talk much of love and they know nothing of love, but aren't these the same people telling you that we're not supposed to be involved in politics? And yet from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, that's all I find. We're the ones that are the Lord's using to establish government, especially in America. The institution of government in America is established on God's moral law. You cannot separate them. Why? Because everybody lives politics. It's really, truly just that simple. And again, common sense does come into play, but you've allowed ACLU and other unconstitutional communist agencies to go ahead and dictate and compartmentalize the lives that you live. And because of your obedience, look what you've done. You've allowed them to breed, and you're allowing them to outbreed who you are, just like the same ones that have allured the illegals into this country. These are all the same people, friends. The dummies don't realize they're self-inflecting. But we, the righteous, those that claim to have eyes and those that have claim to have ears to both see and hear, we should be the ones leading the way, because if not, Matthew 15:14 comes to my aid, where it tells us that the blind lead the blind, they all end up in the ditch. This is why the church should be leading the way. But going back to the title, those that talk much of love, they don't understand what love is. And what am I talking about? Do you guys remember George Barna's research group? When they found that after surveying the said pastors in America across the country as to why they were not preaching against the sins of the nation. I just want to tell you first and foremost, before I get to this, the reason they don't preach out against the sins of a nation is because they've never repented of their sin. The surest sign that you've been forgiven of your sin is the fact that you have forsaken your sin. And furthermore, to understand that you are repentant, you will do nothing but what the Holy Ghost leads you to do, and that will bring forth fruits of repentance. And one of those, friends, just happens to be zeal and vengeance and understanding in 2 Corinthians 10 that when our obedience is fulfilled through and by grace, guess what? We're going to take revenge on all disobedience. That's in the word too. That's the part that was cherry picked out, or it was omitted. Okay? But let me get to the said pastors of the day who are telling us how much they love us and how we're supposed to follow their example of doing nothing in what it brings us to. George Barna said, what we're finding is that when we ask them, the said pastors, about the key issues of the day, 90% of the pastors in America tell us, yes, the Bible speaks to every one of these issues. Then the questions ask, well, are you teaching your people what the Bible says about those issues? And the numbers drop, listen to this carefully, and the numbers drop to less than 10% of the pastors who say they will speak to it. These are the ones that are telling us they love us. These are the ones that the American people have sat back and allowed them to pretend to be the moral compass of society. We have stood back, people have, and they have allowed them to pretend to be the light when in fact it's getting darker and darker and darker around us. This is a prime opportunity for the real church to stand up, because the darker it gets, the brighter we become. But that's not what we're seeing. When researchers ask those said pastors what else they're willing to do to get their people active in their political process, everyone lives politics, like I said, but Barna said almost nothing in response. Hey, folks, the best way to teach is the best way to lead through example. So Barna said, the thing that struck me has been that when we talk about the separation of church and state, which, by the way, is nowhere to be found within any of America's founding documents, it's that the churches, Barna said, have separated themselves from all the activities of the state, and that's to the detriment of the state and its people, stated the researcher. Why the disconnect? Barna said, why the disconnect? The answer is simple. He suggests asking pastors how someone would know if their church was successful, which he did. I can tell you how they're successful and how you gauge them by the scars they have spiritually speaking, not the success that you see in this metaphysical world in which we live and the one that they continuously try to sell us. Barna goes on, he said, there's five factors that the vast majority of the said pastors turn to when asked that question. He explained, he found that the number one reason was that they cared more about attendance, and the number two reason was their offerings. This is what you're putting up with, people. The rest of their top priorities were the number of programs they had in place, staff, believe it or not, the square footage of what they call their churches. Now, here's the conclusion of Barna. Listen to this. Now, all of those things are good measures. No, they're not. Not according to Scripture, except one tiny fact, he said. Jesus didn't die for any of them. Barna continued, what am I suggesting is that those pastors won't probably get involved with politics because it is very controversial. Folks, controversy keeps people from being in the seats, he said, and controversy keeps people from giving money, from attending programs. As they look at things, their tendency is to say, well, that's not a part of my mission. Oh, and I've heard it firsthand. My mission is to bring in more people and to get them to understand certain things that I feel that they should know. Folks, this is all carnality. This is all reprobate. These are reprobate men that have put themselves and placed themselves into spiritual positions. They have no business whatsoever being there. When a man applies for the job to be in the pulpit, you can rest assured he's called of the devil, people. Because it's nothing that anybody would desire. Remember John 21 when Jesus said to Peter, when you were young, you went whithersoever you wanted to go, but when you're old, another will gird you and will take you whithersoever you do not want to go. That's a man that's born of the Spirit of God. Look at Moses. Look at the men that the Lord chose. They felt what? They felt inept. They felt unqualified. They found fault with themselves saying, Lord, are you sure I'm the one? I'm the one. Not those that are saying, oh, I'm the guy. Nobody can do a better job than I can. Nope, nope, nope. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He's chosen the weak things to confound that which is mighty. I'm going to end with this. This is Charles Finney. He said, if there's a decay of conscience, that means with knowledge, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the public press lacks moral discernment, it's the pulpit that's responsible for it. If the church is degenerate and worldly, the pulpit is responsible for it. If the world loses its interest in Christianity, the pulpit is responsible for it. If Satan rules in our halls of legislation, the pulpit is responsible for it. If our politics become so corrupt that the very foundations of our government are ready to fall away, hello, the pulpit is responsible for it, Reverend Charles Finney. Was he right? Oh, you better know he was. If you know anything about the founding era of this country, he is 100% spot on. Because what America is tolerating today is a bunch of individuals that have no business being in the pulpits or in the halls of government. Because of your tolerance and your apathy, friends, rest assured, what you're doing is you're giving them permission to continuously do the things that they're doing. Either we're going to get this right, or we're going to go down in history as the greatest fools of our time. And there is no getting away from that in any sense of the word. Folks, what are you going to have? I want to say this. Do consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty. Also consider this. If you're fired up, you want to bring about change. This is prevention, which is better than cure. It's called Children of the Apostate. There's a 3-book pack. Folks, I didn't write these books because I didn't have anything better to do with my time. I'm not on the radio 24 hours or every day of the week, which is 24 hours to you. because I don't have anything better to do with my life, friends. No, the bottom line is I believe that we can do this, and we need people jumping on board so we can do this. If you'd like to book us, we just got some more dates in Florida. As I said, this would happen. If you'd like to book us, now's the time to do it. We've got Florida coming up in June, which means we have April, and we have May open right now. It's a good time if you'd like to book us to come to your communities to shake, rattle, and roll. 1-866-233-0747. 1-866-233-0747. Love you by what we do. 1 John 3:18.